You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me live and in the flesh, sitting right in front of me. I'm looking at him. There's like skin and bones and everything. It's Jason Lipschitz, our editorial director.
what's up, man?
Hello, Jason.
Welcome to New York.
This is so weird.
It's been waiting for you. Welcome to New York.
Welcome to New York.
We're going to be live next week as well. This is, November is a big month for us.
We planned it this way that we'd have back-to-back shows where Jason and I are together.
Yeah, Pop Shop Podcast.
You know, the problem when we're actually together is that it's less of a structured show. And we just sort of go off the rails.
Yeah, that's fine. All right, let's keep it on the rails. Let's go.
Okay. Keep it on the rails. As always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today, Keith,
yes,
on the show.
What do we have to talk about today?
We'll be talking about the 2018 CMA Awards.
Happening this week.
Every country music star is going to be there.
Even some non-country people like Pink and Niall Horan.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
The Lion King cast reveal. Obviously, that news came out last week, but it's too exciting to not touch upon.
The Beehive is frantic right now.
Buzzing.
Buzzing over Beyonce.
And then, of course, we got to talk about the latest Billboard cover story starring Zayn. We've had this one in the works for a while. He talked about touring and his relationship with the other 1D stars.
Will he ever tour? We'll find out.
We'll find out soon enough.
Or you can go find out now if you go read the story.
Yeah, that's
stay
true
with
too.
Us. Stay with us.
Yeah, come on.
Plus, in charts news, Kenny Chesney debuts at number one on the Billboard 200 with his new live album. Camila Cabello flies 7-2 on the Billboard Hot 100 with Havana. Can she take it all the way to number one? Well, we'll discuss that in a little bit. And how it looks like Sam Smith could score his first number one album next week on the Billboard 200. Ooh. On top of all that, Jason, wow, we've got an interview with Cheat Codes. The dance trio dropped by to talk about all sorts of stuff, including their latest single with Fetty Wap, so stay tuned for that. And you'll also hear a voice you've never heard on the podcast, our special guest correspondent, Taylor Weatherby. Ooh la la.
Look at that. She's in New York as well, so it's a very New York-centric show.
Yeah, she's not actually here right now, though.
Yeah,
she's in Nashville for the CMA Awards.
She was avoiding you, man.
Yeah, she knew I was flying.
Oh, Keith's coming
in. She's like, I'm going to the CMA.
Get out of here.
So stick around for the Cheat Codes interview a little bit later on. A Cheat Codes interview and Taylor a little bit later on in the show.
Yeah, it's a double whammy. But first, Keith, before we get started, if you, Keith, enjoy the podcast, but also if you are a listener listening
to this, I should go review it.
Yeah, go review it. Leave us a rating or review. Also, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you never miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. That's plural. All right, Keith, let's get into it. The 2018 CMAs are this week. And we were talking earlier today, there's a lot of award shows coming up next week on the show. I'm sure we'll be previewing the American Music Awards.
CMAs, AMAs, the EMAs are this week.
Yep. It's a lot.
The LMAs.
Yeah.
And the WWE EMAs.
Is that a thing?
No.
The Wrestling Awards?
The World Wrestling Entertainment Music Awards. So which is the best theme? We're going to vote this week and find out.
Wow. How many like wrestlers, like current wrestlers, are you aware of?
None. I was going to say The Undertaker. Is he still around?
Yeah, he is still around,
really?
Actually. Yeah.
Wow.
He's still doing his thing.
You know, that
John Cena's still doing his thing.
He still wrestles professionally?
Yeah, I think so. So
you don't even know. King Wrestling. You know, for a long time, those albums by the guy who did all the music, Jim Johnson, those charted really high. Like, he would regularly get top 10 albums from just like the music you would hear on the WWE shows.
Well, there you go.
But we're talking about not
the WWE. This is what happens. EMAs.
We're talking
the
about
CMA Awards. So the CMA Awards are this Wednesday, November 8th, hosted as always by Brad Paisley. Carrie Underwood.
They're so good at it.
They're really good. They're really fun. So the performers this year, they always have really stacked performers.
Every single person in country music plays the CMAs,
basically yeah. So you got Garth Brooks, Faith Hill, Eric Church, Kelsey Ballerini, Dierks Bentley, Luke Bryan, Reba, of course, Tim McGraw, Miranda Lambert. I mean,
it's almost like who isn't playing?
Chris Stapleton, Darius Rucker. And yeah, like you said, Niall's going to be there.
Niall's going to be performing, I think, with Maren Morris from his album. Yeah. If Pink is there, that means she's going to be with Kenny doing their duet. And I don't think they've ever performed that live together. I could be wrong.
I think you're probably right.
Tell me if I'm wrong on Twitter, people.
Well, and then we got to go through Entertainer of the Year. Garth Brooks, Luke Bryan, Eric Church, Chris Stapleton, Keith Urban. It's going to be a tough one. I know you're going to lean toward Keith Urban because of the Keith connection.
The Keith connection?
I really like
connection with a K.
I really like the Chris Stapleton album. I feel like Garth Brooks might win this. I don't know.
I think Garth won it last year at the 50th CMAs. The thing about Entertainer of the Year, it's not just about the recorded music you made, but also, you know, your live shows and you know, other stuff too. And I remember like Blake Shelton won it a couple years ago, and it was when The Voice was just ascending and he was becoming this huge ambassador for country music. So it's not just about your live shows and the music, but it's also about sort of you as a true entertainer.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see how that balances out. But you know, I mean, Garth with his shows and his tours, it's kind of hard to beat Garth.
It's true.
And we'll see if maybe we'll get a special surprise performance from T Swift.
Ooh, you never know.
She's nominated this year for a Song of the Year for writing
Little Big Town.
Yeah, Better Man for Little Big Town. So we'll find out. Stay tuned.
Wednesday night. So we're going to move on. The Lion King cast for the live action reimagining of The Lion King. How do you feel about it? Before we get into the cast, how do you feel about it?
I feel fine about it. I don't know how this is actually going to... How is it going to be like a bunch of humans like acting as?
I think it's going to be like The Jungle Book where they're voice acting.
But there's no humans in... Oh, so it's a new CGI animals thing? Yeah. Oh, I see. So it's
I would expect.
CGI lions...
CGI.
With voices of Beyonce.
And that's what the new title is going to be, the CGI Lion King. I don't know if you knew that.
The CGI Lion.
The CGI.
We're not going to make it work.
So Donald Glover was already announced to be playing Simba, but last week people lost their mind when Beyonce was confirmed to be playing Nala. Also, Alfre Woodard as Sarabi, which is awesome. John Oliver is Zazu. Just a cool cast. Billy Eichner is Timon. Seth Rogen is Pumbaa. Eric Andre is part of this cast. And then, of course, you can't have Mufasa be played by anybody else but James Earl Jones. Come on.
That's pretty cool. That's...
So summer 2019, and there is what's cool is that I feel like it's been a minute since Beyonce had like a major film role. Correct me if I'm wrong. When was her last major film role? Obsessed?
I'm like obsessed. Dreamgirls? Has it been that long?
Austin Powers. So there's a whole retrospective of her filmography.
I think she would contend that Lemonade and the visual album before that.
It's a good point.
But those are also like music videos.
Yeah.
She's not, there's not a whole lot of acting without music there.
But the whole thing was that when she first started out as a solo artist around the Dangerously in Love era, like she was also trying to break into acting.
Yeah, Austin Powers and Goldmember.
Yeah.
The Fighting Temptations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Temptations. So, again, she'll be in that in summer 2019. I'm pretty pumped for that. Did you see Beauty and the Beast?
I haven't.
It's pretty good.
I mean, it's not quite the same without Mrs. Potts played by Angela Lansbury.
I know, right? Well, yeah, it's Emma Thompson this time around.
But, you know, I mean, that's great. I mean, Emma Thompson loves Angela Lansbury. You know, I mean, it's perfect. But, you know, still haven't seen it yet. Looking forward to it, though.
All right. So we got to talk about the Zayn Billboard cover story, which came out last week. So check out the whole story, obviously. Pick up Billboard magazine. Go to billboard.com to read the whole thing. But two things that I wanted to touch upon. Talking to Jonathan Ringen, Billboard correspondent, Zayn talks about, first of all, it seems like he's going to tour next year, which is exciting. It's very exciting.
Because he hasn't actually toured yet.
He has not toured yet. He's performed, you know, on, like, late-night shows.
Yeah, very rarely, though. Like, he wasn't even doing, like, festival gigs or anything,
no.
was he? Yeah.
No.
He's an incredible stage fright. That's why he hasn't done these things.
Well, he's talked about also in this story, he talks about how part of the reason why he didn't tour is that he didn't really know what kind of vibe to take with the tour behind the first album, because he said, and I'm quoting here, quote, like, there were a ton of upbeat dance parentheses songs, and I don't dance, so it would have required a lot of extra dancers and stuff going on, and I don't necessarily want to do that, end quote. So I think that he's still trying to figure out how to tour on his own terms, but I'm really pumped for a Zayn solo tour. Let's do it.
Why can't he dance? He just says, I don't dance, but you're limiting yourself, dude. Come on.
Maybe we'll get him on So You Know You Can't Dance.
We've seen Liam, like, bust out a few moves, even though he technically hasn't danced before.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he was on The X Factor in the UK, like, kind of moving a little bit.
I can understand if you just, like...
Yeah, if it's not your thing, I get it.
Yeah, the expectation for, a pop-leaning artist to just, like, dance on stage.
Come on.
Go,
you. Troop of dancers.
I don't know how you would dance to a song like Pillow Talk anyway. Anyway, the other thing
very
is...
Very sexily.
Yeah, very, very, very sultry moves. But, so the other thing I wanted to touch upon is he was asked about, you know, his relationship with the other 1D members. He says he's kind of fallen out of touch with the other guys.
Huh.
Quote, our relationships have definitely changed since we were in a band together, but I think that's just life. Everybody grows up. Two of the guys have got kids now, but no, I don't talk to any of them really. You know what? And there were some little, you know, like tear emojis going on when this was shared. But here's the thing. I get it, man. You know, it's almost like you go to high school. You're not going to stay in touch with everybody from high school. Maybe you reconnect at a reunion or on Facebook or something.
Right.
Maybe he's on Facebook, like, liking Harry Styles' number one album debut or something like that. But, you know, it's okay.
It is the never-ending discussion that passionate fans have when they talk about their favorite boy bands, girl groups, whatever. When, you know, when Camila leaves Fifth Harmony, when Girls Aloud,
yeah, they're coming up,
fell apart. The Spice Girls when Jerry left,
yeah.
How often does Justin still talk to Joey and Lance?
Yeah, exactly.
And because you have this vision that they're like best friends, like BFFs forever, and like, you know, I think part of that is muddied by the fact that when they're brought to us and introduced to us and marketed to us as fans, they are brought to us as like this unit, and we're besties, and we're good friends, and we're like brothers, and we're sisters. And then when one of those goes away, you're like, what? Wait, do you still talk? Wait, what do you mean you don't? And like, you feel like, have I been just sold this lie? It's like, well, no, at the time when 1D was together, they were in it. And just like anything else, like, I don't talk to some of my coworkers from years ago, but when they were here, like we were all like tight.
Like me.
Like, shut up. but like, I don't get distraught over the fact that like Girls Aloud are not like, you know, best friends anymore. I remember them for all the great music they gave us.
Yeah.
I don't look to them for like, you know, skills and friendship. It was a working relationship.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that sometimes it just people move in different directions, no pun intended. But you never know, maybe someday down the line. I mean, obviously, going back to NSYNC, Justin wanted to do his own solo thing after that third album. So did JC. Like, they wanted to take time to themselves. Eventually, they got back together for a one-off performance at the VMAs that one year. And obviously, they're still on, like, good terms. It doesn't seem like Zayn is on bad terms with anybody, so...
It's just not on, like, particularly friendly terms.
Yeah,
But we know all five of the guys in NSYNC have a group text, and they all, like, you know, talk to one another. Like,
is that true? I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure that, like, around the VMAs reunion, that's what they talked about. They said that they've always had sort of, I'm not quoting someone, I'm paraphrasing, but it seemed to indicate that they had a group chat that they always keep up, and like, they talk to each other about stuff. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah.
Check out the Billboard cover story on Zayn again on billboard.com. Also on Billboard Magazine.
So let's run the Billboard chart numbers and do the chart chats. Here are three of the biggest headlines on the charts. Number one, Kenny Chesney is back on top of the Billboard 200 with his new live album. Number two, on the Hot 100, Camila Cabello flies 7-2 with Havana, featuring Young Thug. And number three, Sam Smith is on course for his first number one album on the Billboard 200. Alrighty, let's break down each of these individually. First up, country king Kenny Chesney collects his eighth number one on the Billboard 200 with his new live album, Live in No Shoes Nation. I wonder what No Shoes Nation, it just
that's
means
his
like
thing.
Just like flip-flops, or yeah, like you're barefoot on the beach.
That's like his fan army, if you want to call it that. Like, he's always like repping for No Shoes Nation.
He has long been the Jimmy Buffett equivalent in country music. Well, the album starts atop the list with 219,000 equivalent album units earned in the week ending November 2nd, according to Nielsen Music, of course. And of that sum, 217,000 were in traditional album sales. By the way, the bulk of that is actually in ticket bundle sales or ticket bundle redemption sales. I don't have, you know, normally I have that.
We've never talked about this ticket bundle thing on the podcast before.
This entire podcast is Keith just saying, shut up.
Yeah.
Like 100 and probably like 80 something, maybe more.
A lot of it.
A lot of it are redemptions from this ticket bundle offer. Interestingly, this is the first live album to be number one since the Hope for Haiti Now charity compilation live album from, of course, the TV special turned into a live album, and that was back in 2010. So pretty exciting for Kenny. It's his eighth number one, and
yeah. Can we just take a second to reflect on how incredible
Kenny is? Incredible.
Eight number one albums, man.
Eight number one. He has the second most number ones among country acts, and he already had the second most.
Yeah,
but the only country act with more number ones is,
I would assume, Garth.
It's Garth Brooks with 9.
Oh, so Kenny's catching up.
Kenny is catching up.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you just think about how hard it is to get a number one album. We obviously, Pink last month got her second number one album with Beautiful Trauma.
Shows you just how freaking big Kenny Chesney is.
Yeah, exactly. So congrats to Kenny.
And Garth.
And the rest of No Shoes Nation. Congrats to you.
Yes, they were out there in force, redeeming that offer. Over on the Hot 100, while Post Malone is number one for a fourth week with Rockstar, Camila jumps 7-2 with Havana. The surge is owed to the song's music video, which we talked about last week, but yep. The video dropped on October 24th, so it partially impacted last week's chart when it jumped 20-7, but the bulk of the impact actually came in this week's chart where it rallies 7-2. Can she go to number one?
That's a question for you, man. Do you think she will? Rockstar,
not in the immediate future.
Yeah, Rockstar seems like it's doing its thing for a little bit.
Yeah, and Rockstar is doing its thing without an official music video.
Yeah,
it doesn't have. But I think one is in the can, and I think they're probably just waiting to drop and block people from number one. So yeah. unless Camila, I don't know, does something crazy, it looks like she might stop at number two.
Well, you never know.
You never know. You never know. Lastly, Sam Smith is aiming for number one on next week's Billboard 200 albums chart, according to industry forecasters. Sam Smith, who was on the back of this week's issue, looking
very... The thrill of it all.
Yeah, he looks thrilled. The thrill of it all could bow atop the list with a little over 200,000 equivalent album units earned in the weekending November 9th. His first album, you might be wondering, topped out at number 2 in the week that it debuted on the chart. It never actually went to number 1.
Do you remember what debuted at number 1 ahead of it?
It was something... feel like it was two things that debuted the same week. Wait, you seem to know this.
I do know this.
Who is it?
We talked about this on the Pop Shop podcast in 2014, my man.
So it was Mace?
Mace.
No?
What? Mace! In 2014?
No, I don't know. I'm referencing some other... What did Mace... Anyway, whatever. So who was it, Jason?
It was Lana Del Rey with Ultraviolence.
Oh, that's right.
June 2014.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, they both had really big debuts.
They did. They did. And we talked about how it seemed like Sam Smith, even though he started with less, was going to persist a little bit more because Stay With Me was catching on at radio. Lana Del Rey did not have a radio single from that album.
Right.
Not, she had a radio single.
But it wasn't doing what Stay With Me was doing.
Exactly. So, and lo and behold... In the Lonely Hour was a huge success for Sam Smith.
Stuck around a little bit longer in terms of the higher rankings of the chart than Lana did.
Exactly.
But, wow, yeah.
How about that, man?
You're
dropping some chart stats.
You're a Lana super fan.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. I guess. That's a qualified yes.
Is this Sam Smith, are we talking ticket bundle here?
There is a ticket bundle involved.
Oh, boy.
But then again, so does Maroon 5, which is probably going to be number 2 on the chart.
Okay.
Maroon 5 is going to do, I think, a little over 100,000 total.
Cool.
So I think what's happening is that, yeah, I mean, Sam has a ticket bundle, but I think what's driving it is that he still has a lot of traditional retail sales helping him from a lot of people that just loved him from the first album, and they are still album buyers. And I think he has an older demographic buying his album, so that's certainly helping him.
You know what's funny about that Maroon 5 album is that...
Red Pill Blues is what the album is called.
Red Pill Blues. Don't Wanna Know, featuring Kendrick Lamar, is on the next to last song on that. That song feels so long ago.
Did it come out like a year ago?
Over a year ago.
Over a year ago,
easily, yeah.
So I think this album...
For sure.
I feel like this album was supposed to come out like last Christmas.
Yeah.
But they just sort of held on to it and sort of finished it.
Now they're here. Just in time for this Christmas.
Well, other albums heading for a high debut. Maroon 5, obviously, with Red Pill Blues. Blake Shelton's Texoma Shore. Texoma? Must be a place in Texas, I guess. I don't know. Tweet us. And Kid Rock's Sweet Southern Sugar. And Kelsea Ballerini's Unapologetically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kid Rock, who's not running for Senate.
No.
No.
Kelsea Ballerini, Best New Artist nominee. After Sam Smith won a couple years ago.
Oh, the Grammy Awards?
Yeah, the Grammy Awards, yeah. Wow.
And now, it's time for our interview with Cheat Codes.
Yeah!
In our chat, the guys talk about their new single, Feels Great, with Fetty Wap and Cubs. And they compare what it's like working with Demi Lovato, who was on their breakthrough Top 40 Hot 100 hit No Promises, and Fetty. And how Fetty actually gave them way more than they expected for his part on Feels Great. They also talk about how they've gone from always writing in the studio to always touring and how they're trying to find that right balance as they move forward into 2018. Plus, the group talks about why they throw cash into the audience at their shows instead of spending money on lasers.
Same.
Yeah. I mean, whenever I play a show...
Hard same.
I throw out just wads of dollar bills.
And after I've convinced you to stop spending your money on lasers.
Right, exactly. So here is our chat with Cheat Codes.
Welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop podcast. This is Taylor Weatherby, and I'm sitting here with Cheat Codes.
What up? Doing great. How are you doing?
Good. Feels great to be sitting with you guys.
Feels great, mother bleep.
That's a pun. Okay, yeah. I like it.
So what have you guys been up to? It's been a couple great weeks for you guys since you released Feels Great.
It's
been a couple big months with No Promises. So how have things been going?
It's been awesome. It's been definitely the craziest we've ever experienced. The last few months have been wild. But No Promises was really exciting for us. I mean, that was like a big step for us to be able to release a song with somebody like Demi Lovato, such a superstar. And then the last couple of weeks have been crazy. We've been playing shows, and then we've been waiting to release a song with Fetty Wap, and it finally is out now. So it's dope.
Yeah. Well, and last time, because I talked to you guys when you guys were on the Hot 100 initially, which was like number 77, I think. Yeah. And now you're at number 43, and you just peaked at 38 like a couple weeks ago. Just blowing up. So do you guys feel like things just keep getting bigger and bigger with it? Or because I know it's been out for a while now, so how have things been kind of changing for you guys since it's been blowing up?
Yeah, this is Matt speaking. I mean, I think the main thing is just us hearing it personally, like everywhere we go, because we're always traveling. We're always playing everywhere overseas or playing here in America. I mean, like, we just played a show and just out to eat and it's playing while we're eating. Yeah. You know what I mean? Where it's playing on the radio in LA. Like, so that's, I think that's the craziest thing to actually hear it. Because, like, you can look at the charts, but it's kind of disconnected if you're not actually witnessing it yourself.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah, this is Trevor. And I'm from Portland, and it actually hit number two, like, in Portland at the main radio station there. So that was, like, crazy for me. Everyone from my hometown and my family and my friends were like, whoa, bro, like, I hear it, like, all the time. Like, whenever I get in the car, like,
literally. You won't shut
it
up.
It won't, yeah. And I went home the other day, and yeah, like, kept blending, like, our song and Maroon 5's new song together.
No
it was
way.
Like, it sounds crazy, but it was That's cool. Sick. I kept
is that
hearing
a
myself
cool
talk.
Collab? Like, a mashup?
Yeah, it sounded mashup? Pretty cool. Yeah.
Now he's just a legend forever in his town.
yeah, Portland.
Is there a weird place you guys have heard it?
We've heard it, like,
overseas.
Overseas
a bunch,
spots,
yeah.
So.
Like, random Ubers, like, in some random country, like, whoa. There it
the
is.
The first time we heard on the radio, I think, was in New York. Right.
Baltimore.
Oh, Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Sorry.
It's always funny when it comes on in an Uber and you like,
it's like oh, dude, no way.
You're like, you know the song, the Uber driver? Like, yeah, of course I know the song. You're like, oh, cool.
You're not like, this is us? You're just
we've told them before.
What do you think of this song?
Sometimes, usually, it gets kind of weird
totally
when you tell them.
Crap on it.
Yeah.
And
it gets
like, kind of oh,
funny.
Yeah,
you're like, oh, this is us. And they're like, oh, really? Can we like stop and take pictures?
Yeah, they get pictures, yeah.
You're like, oh, okay. Oh, no, I shouldn't say anything.
But no, like, strange places, like, I don't know, while you're, like, standing in line for, like, a checkout at the grocery store or something.
I don't know.
Oh, you know what? I heard it playing on the news, the KTLA news. Randomly.
Yeah, it was, like, the traffic, like, okay, we're going to turn to traffic.
Yeah, it's, like, no promises.
No promises
was, like,
about the traffic.
Yeah. we work out at LA Fitness, or at least
he
used to, but they play the music video, like, on, like, a loop, like, every single day at the gym. So I'm always just like, like lifting the weights,
buff,
like doing some curls. I'm like,
doing the bottle. That's awesome.
Well, do you feel like the song has kind of opened doors for you guys? Because I know that you guys had tons of big songs. Like when we talked last, you said they were really big overseas. And obviously with the Spotify numbers, like you guys are clearly getting hits on these songs, whether they have Demi Lovato on them or not. And so do you feel like taking this song has taken things to a different level for you?
Totally. I would say especially in America. I think that, like, America's, like, the hardest market to crack, you know, and that this song's been a huge door opener for us.
Yeah.
I think
especially
it's,
the radio.
Yeah. I think it's opening doors for us as far as, like, TV looks and, you know, getting in more with the radio as well and just, you know, meeting different radio personalities and getting to, like, vibe with them on a personal level, too, because, you know, we love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, the radio shows that we've been doing recently as well are really
it's a lot of fun
because those are cool because it's so many different artists in one place.
Yeah,
we did like the iHeartRadio in Vegas.
Yeah,
and it was sick because there's just like Louis Tomlinson there, like BB Rexha, French Montana, like so many different types of artists there.
Well, I actually saw you at that show.
Okay, yeah,
and you guys threw money into the crowd.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I wanted to hear a little bit about the whole money thrown into the crowd. I saw your what is the show you guys have on YouTube, Too Easy. Too Easy. And you guys blasted $10,000 worth of money through guns.
That
so
was,
like,
this is Matt speaking. That was the first show we did it. And really what happened was we were like, oh, like, this is going to be a big festival for us. We know there's going to be a lot of people. We want to go all out. We hit up the production guys. We're like, how much for, like, pyro? How much for lasers? And literally for lasers, it was going to be like $10,000. Yeah. We're like,
lasers
what?
Be like
Why?
7 or 10 grand. We're like, well, then let's just throw it out into the crowd. Then.
I was like, that doesn't. I mean, lasers are cool, but I'd probably get more hype if somebody's like spraying money at me. Yeah. So that's kind of how the idea came about. We did that first show. It was lit. Like people went insane for it, and we were a little worried. We're really worried because, and our team was kind of worried too. They were like, what if it starts like a riot, or like, what if people like hurt each other over it? So that was like, we were like, let's see what happens. and nobody got hurt. It's like, because it's like,
it's just dollars.
It's just dollar bills, you know? So it's like, people aren't going to fight each other over
it's
it.
It's not like it's hundreds.
But it's still like fun, you know?
You see people like passing it around. Like people are cool about it. So it's
nice. So it's like more like a camaraderie thing than
I mean, you see like some of it like fall on the barricades in between the stage and the crowd, and you see the security picking it up and handing it to the crowd. So it's all fun.
No security or stuff.
No, not yet. If they do, we'll call them out, you know?
But now is that like a thing you're going to continue throughout?
Yeah, we do it every show.
We do it every single show. We haven't stopped since that show.
So how much do you think you've given out? Because probably like not
over,
10 grand.
Probably
a show,
over like 60 grand, 70 grand.
Like no way.
It's like 1,500, 2,000 every show.
That's insane.
Probably like 60, 70 shows.
And I mean, it sounds like a lot, but like every time you go into these shows, usually we're paying, or us and every other DJ that goes into these shows is paying for
the same amount
for like production that you don't normally think about. You know what I mean? So we're just
you're like looking at the lasers,
and creating moments. You know, like that we think it's more fun to have people like. You know, freak out and have fun and have something to take home.
Something more unique.
A nice little souvenir for kids. Yeah.
People come up to us and like ask for like autographs on the
dollars. I think it's illegal, but
you know, I mean, as long as they don't spend it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's awesome. You guys have like turned it into like a staple, and maybe like instead of lasers at all, you're gonna always just have money and
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. Maybe,
awesome.
Maybe eventually we have both. You know.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about "Feels Great" because that's the next thing. Yeah. I know you guys have had a couple songs in between, but this is obviously a very big song for you guys with Fetty Wap and Cubs on it.
Totally.
So, kind of tell me about how, like, what was inspiring that, what, the lyrics, and what made you guys want both people on the track? You know, not just one artist.
I was going to say, one of the cool things about a lot of the music that we make is that we create it with friends that we've known for a long time.
Yeah.
And Cubs is actually a dude that we've known for years. And so he had this idea, and we heard it, and we were like, oh, man, we would love to work on it with you. And so we worked on it with him and our friend Taylor. And, it's one of those things we've been working on it for a while, and we just made a lot of different versions trying to make it right. And we always kind of thought it would be awesome to have Fetty on the song. And
And Cubs is actually, this is Matt speaking, the first person I ever produced for in LA like six years ago, and then like years later he's like a dope writer and like making all these dope songs, and we kind of started working the song and we're like, you sound a lot like Fetty on this, like like, you know what I mean, like
Trevor's vocals, no, like Cubs.
We were started working on the song, we were like, we need to get Fetty on the song, like it would just be like a perfect fit. And then
it ended up working out really well.
So you just, like, hit him up, and he's like, yeah, totally. No big deal.
Well, he's on the same label as us.
Yeah. When we signed to 300, that always, like, in the back of our minds, we were like, oh, it'd be really cool to do a song with Fetty.
Yeah.
And after the Demi song, like you said, it kind of opened more doors for us, and we were able to make that happen. So
that's awesome. Well, what is he like in the studio? I was wondering if he actually laughs like that, first of all, because that's a pretty amazing laugh to witness in person.
With Fetty, actually, that he did that in Atlanta, I believe, and did the vocals and sent them over. So it was one of those things where, you know, via the internet, we're able to make a really cool song. But we met him in person. We played shows with him before, and he's an awesome guy. Really, really nice and giving and
super chill.
Humble dude.
So did he bring anything to the track, or did you guys kind of like say this is what we have?
He did.
He
totally did.
What did he kind of bring?
Well, he brought the whole lyrical concept of like
prom and like
being in school and just skipping class. With like,
he wrote that whole second verse.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
So,
which is cool because that was like a different perspective in the song, but I think
we had a different verse.
Yeah,
what was kind of your take on it prior to him voicing any opinion with it?
I mean, it was a similar melody and rhythm to the first verse, so it kind of kept that same vibe, but he came in and kind of switched it up, which was really cool. You know, we weren't expecting it, but it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, like, did you guys have the idea to sing about feeling great because of everything that was happening in your career, or what kind of inspired it from the get-go, like lyrically?
Yeah, I think the idea is that you're as young as you feel.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that flip of, do you remember how it feels to be young? Yeah, I remember because I'm young right now. It feels great, motherfucker. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the whole idea of the song. Like, you know, and we think dance music is kind of an outlet for that. Like, people want to go to these dance festivals or just music festivals in general, and they want to, like, feel connected.
Yeah.
Which I think that's a big part of feeling young. When you're young, you feel like so much more connected, whether in, like, you're in high school and, like, you know everybody in your high school, or whether you're, like, doing whatever. Then as you get older, you for some reason, you just like, no, I just hang out with my wife. You know what I mean? But it's just the state of mind. You know, I just think that feeling of connection is like the most important thing.
So how do you guys feel like things have kind of changed from like the start of this year to now? Like, what's kind of the headspace you're in as Cheat Codes going forward? Like, just knowing what's happening and...
Well, I feel like it's been a lot of like getting used to the life of like what we're doing as far as the touring and the making music. Because when we first started, we were only making music. We weren't playing any shows, obviously. So the whole like process and routine and schedule was like very simple. So now it's like we had to get more organized, kind of, to like figure out what are the next steps. And I feel like now we're at that point where we kind of have the right vision and the right headspace of organization and where we want to go, that we're going to be able to like crush it.
Totally. Yeah. It kind of went from us like always writing and in the studio to like us always touring. And now we're kind of trying to figure out that balance and kind of set it up nicely for 2018, where we can, you know, play a lot of shows, but also make a lot of new music that we're excited about.
Yeah. Well, I know that last time we talked, you were mentioning that you wanted to do like a song a month kind of pattern. And I know that's not super easily done. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've talked to other artists that say that and they don't necessarily do it. But you guys have pretty much kept up. I mean, one every other month at least.
Yeah. We've released a lot of music and we want to continue to do that. We just want to like be more strategic on how we're doing it and take the next few months to kind of really think about, you know, doing an album and how we want to space that out, and do we want to break it up into multiple, you know, sections or whatever, and we want to release more dance music. So there's a lot of stuff we want to do. We just want to like kind of take a couple months to kind of figure it out and be organized and do it in the right way.
Yeah, because we definitely think with like streaming and everything like that, like music is being consumed way faster. But with No Promises, kind of like our first song that was on American radio, which is like way different than any other country. We're still
a different machine.
It's still being played on the radio, but the song was like put out like 4 or 5 months ago. But you know, in every other country, they're like done playing.
Already on, like,
they're done playing No Promises. Like they're on to the next one. You know, it's like way quicker. So it's like having that strategy of like, okay, we want to make sure we're still, you know, putting the songs like in their right place, I guess, for them to maximize like what they're doing. But at the end of the day, like, we care the most about the fans, but, you know, you want the fans to hear it.
Yeah. Well, and you guys got your dream with Fetty coming on a track, so do you have another dream collaborator that you
we got to make more goals now.
I want Drake.
Drake, real that'd bad. Be amazing.
I'd cry for unreal. Life.
I want Paul McCartney. I don't know how that would work, but I don't know the logistics behind that, but we'll figure it out.
I mean, I feel like 4 or 5 seconds was kind of like a...
Kind of, but like I want him singing on it, man.
That's sick.
For sure.
Like really
he was singing,
it,
you know? He lit.
Paul and Drake.
That's a movie right there. That's like an Academy Award winning movie.
The ballad with Drake wrapped in the bridge. Oh, geez. Done deal. Done.
That's good.
Matt, what about you? Do you have anybody in mind?
I think it'd be sick to get like Elton John.
Yeah, we're going to keep saying those three in every interview probably for the next
five years.
One,
until they hit us up. One will happen, and then you credit Billboard.
Exactly.
For sure. Yeah,
let me get the other two. So. One at a time.
Well, and as collaborators, I know that you didn't necessarily work with Fetty and Demi in the studio, but can you kind of compare what they're like as collaborators? Because there's like a pop and then a rap. So then you guys are talking about these legendary kind of rock pop artists and then a rapper. So like... what do you think, like, a pop artist like Demi and a rap artist like Fetty kind of bring to your music, and how are they as collaborators?
Yeah, that's a layered question. I like it.
Yeah.
That's good. I was in the studio with Demi, and that was a really cool experience just because we were only there for a few hours but that in itself was, like, an experience because she's just very professional. She's, like, going there to, like, get the job done and do a great job at it, and, like, she's very picky and very perfectionist. Like, she would hear one little thing wrong with the vocal and be like, oh, you have to do it again. Have to fix it. So... that was really interesting. I've never been in like a studio with somebody that's like obviously been doing it since he was like a little kid, you know. So that was cool, and I'm interested to see what it would be like with Fetty.
Yeah, but we kind of had this conversation with our good friend Lil Aaron, who's like another writer that we're friends with. I feel like if you're like a female pop artist or just pop in general, it's like you want to be presented the song like as close to being finished as possible, almost like for you to like for if you're Demi, like for you to even waste your time on it, you know, she is so busy. But like for urban music, it's almost like you have to leave it bare, otherwise they're not going to be interested. Because they're because with Fetty, we were like, oh, just like sing the hook. That's what we were thinking. And then he comes back with a whole verse that he wrote, because he was probably thinking like, well, where's the empty track for me to rap
on? Right, where's the
collab? You know what I'm saying?
I just think
it's a different, like, but it's
that's
cool.
That's super interesting, though.
Yeah.
I mean, totally. It's probably something that you don't realize until you're doing it.
Because he literally sent us back the second verse, and we had no idea that's what he was going to do.
Yeah.
And then we were like, oh, cool. This is dope.
And you're
dope.
Like, this is better than what we wrote. No, I'm just kidding.
That's awesome.
Well, what else can you guys hint about what's coming? Because, I mean, you just put out a track 2 weeks ago, but like you guys have touched on, fans are always wanting more, and radio stations are like, all right, we've played this for a month, now we're over this, so what's kind of coming next?
We definitely want to release some more dance tracks over the next few months. Just some stuff that we haven't really done too much of. We want to release some stuff that's more just focused around, you know, club music and whatever else. But also, there is another collaboration we've worked on with a female artist. Can't say who it is.
Ooh, that's exciting.
That we are really excited about. It's a little more of a ballad, but I think it's still really awesome. And we're also working on a few songs where we are singing back. I mean, we sing a lot of our songs, but we're going to go back to that and sing some more ones. So we'll see how that goes.
Cool. Yeah, we want to. That's kind of like the whole idea behind our project in the very beginning was we all kind of have ADD, so we want to be able to switch it up as much as possible, whether it's like, maybe this song, I'll sing it.
Yeah.
Maybe this song, we'll just get Fetty Wap on it. You know what I mean? Yeah. We can kind of, the possibilities are endless as long as it fits into like the mold of how we do it live.
Yeah.
Which our live show is very eclectic. Like we're literally playing, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire with like a dubstep drop with like a pop, like modern, like Post Malone hook. You know what I mean? Like we're mixing like everything and somehow it still fits into like an energetic set. So. Yeah. That's kind of how we approach like our original music. Like we want it to like somehow still fit together, but you're never going to be able to guess what the next song is going to sound like.
Right.
It's kind of the idea of it.
That's cool.
And you're not going to be able to guess.
I guarantee good luck.
Never know what to expect with cheat
good
codes.
Luck.
No. Always switching it up.
Well, that's awesome. We'll leave it at that. Thank you guys so much for stopping by the Pop Shop Podcast.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Love you guys. Just be careful. Love ain't simple. Promise me no
promises. Thanks again to Cheat Codes for stopping by the office, and also a special shout out to Taylor for repping the Pop Shop.
Yeah, thanks, Taylor. Yay. Taylor's the best.
Taylor. And now it's time again for the chart stat of the week.
Ooh, wow.
This week. That. This week in 1981, Jason?
Yep. I was not born.
You weren't.
So it's six years to go.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Well, this week in 1981, 6 years before Jason was born, Daryl Hall and John Oates.
Yeah, here we go.
The Hot 100 with Private Eyes. They're watching you. It was the act's third of six number one hits. Their other leaders.
Six number one hits?
They've had six number ones.
I had no idea.
Well, I'll tell you what they are.
Yeah, tell me.
They hit number one with Rich Girl.
Yep.
Kiss on My List.
Yep.
I Can't Go for That, No Can Do.
Yeah.
Man Eater.
Yeah.
And right. Out of Touch.
Yeah.
And then obviously Private Eyes.
Yeah.
So six number ones. Did you know, then you really won't know this.
Okay.
Jason, Hall & Oates charted more top 10 hits and more top 40 hits than any other duo in Hot 100 history.
Really?
They've had 16 top 10s and a whopping 29 top 40 hits.
29. Wow, that's crazy.
Do you have a favorite Hall & Oates song?
Rich Girl's up there. Probably Man Eater, though. That's.
Dun, dun, dun,
I like dun, dun, Hall & Oates dun, dun, and Nelly Furtado. Dun, dun, dun. Great Man Eaters.
Ooh, those are two really great Man Eater songs. I think Man Eater got a. Man Eater by Nelly Furtado should have been a bigger hit.
I 100% agree with you.
Such a good
man.
Song. But yeah. Now we've just digressed into a Nelly Furtado. But this is about Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
Hall & Oates, and Unstoppable in the 80s, by the way. Probably had more hits in the 80s than most other acts. But now I'm going to fall into a rabbit hole and I should stop because Jason's winking
keep going.
At me. He's like,
keep
no,
going.
We gotta stop.
Keep going.
So there you have it. Back in 1981, Hall & Oates topped the Hot 100 this week with Private Eyes. All right, Jason. This has been exciting having you in the room. This is probably a much longer podcast than normal because of that.
Really?
I don't know. I'm not watching the time.
This was a good one.
Yeah.
This was a good one.
I think so.
Talked about country music. Talked about The Lion King.
We talked about Beyonce. Can't do a podcast without Beyonce.
Yeah.
What song should we go out on? Something from the original Lion King? I Just Can't Wait to Be King.
Oh.
Something from the Goofy movie? One of your favorite Disney
films?
Oh,
yeah. So before the taping, Keith and I were talking about favorite Disney films, like Disney animated films.
Right.
My favorite Disney film is a Goofy movie.
Which counts.
You've never seen it?
No.
You've never seen a Goofy movie, but you're a big Disney guy.
I am, but I haven't seen that one.
So basically the music is just awesome in that movie.
Is it like any pop songs? Like
no, it's
like Gorlsh. Like is like man, Goofy I'm, like singing stuff?
No, well some songs, yeah. I'm blanking on the name of the main artist. Ah, this is gonna kill me. I'm blanking on the name of the main artist who was a popular recording artist. Who
Carter Burwell, Don Davis, Tevin Campbell.
Tevin Campbell, yeah.
Stand Out. Is that the name of the song?
Yeah. So let's go out on Stand Out.
Cool. Well, see you guys next time.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.